The next case is 08574, New 52 Project, Inc. versus Gordon Proctor, Director of Ohio Department of Transportation. Mr. Stokes.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court, my name is Michael Stokes. I'm here this morning on behalf of the Ohio Department of Transportation, and I'd like to reserve 3 minutes of my time for rebuttal. There is an exclusive statutory system for vacating a state highway easement and turning over control of the property to the underlying fee owner. And this system leaves no room for a common law action for two main reasons. First, as in Bigler versus York, the statute that deals with vacating state highway easements makes the decision discretionary and lodges that discretion in the Director of Transportation. That element of discretion alone was enough in Bigler for this court to decide that the statute on vacating township roads at issue in Bigler was exclusive. Second, the statute here that deals with vacating state highway easements has a number of detailed procedures involving other public interests that would be meaningless if they could be bypassed by a common law action.
I wanted to ask you on that point, if we were to affirm the Court of Appeals, what would happen to the property?
Well, in the posture of this case, we're here on a motion to dismiss. So there would be a remand evidently back to the trial court to then decide whether the factual elements for common law abandonment could be established. But then we would have a trial court being put in the position of deciding what the General Assembly has said that only the Director of Transportation should be deciding.
Well, I would take you beyond that. If ultimately New 52 Project, Inc. wins, who gets the property? What happens to the property?
If New 52 won, then property that was acquired as a perpetual state highway easement, the state highway easement, evidently, I mean, this hasn't happened before, at least not to my knowledge. Evidently, the unencumbered fee title to the property would then be in New 52.
Okay, the other entities to which you just referred who have an interest, they don't have an interest at that point in the property. I mean, the federal government has an interest in natural resources.
Correct, Your Honor. None of those people would be heard or could be heard in the common law action. And there's a good illustration of that actually in the Bigler versus York case. What happened in Bigler, there was a township road that had been blocked by a landslide some 35 years before the Biglers filed suit to quiet title in them. And when the quiet title action was pending, several nearby landowners filed motions to intervene because they claimed that they had an interest in keeping the road in public hands, keeping this road easement in public hands. And the trial court said, no, you don't belong here. This is just a dispute between the easement holder and the fee owner. In the situation of a state highway easement, what the procedures are meant to cover and meant to address are these other interests that you just mentioned. For example, public utilities. The Director of Transportation has statutory authority to issue permits allowing public utilities to use state highway easements for telephone lines, electric lines, underground utilities, that sort of thing.
Let me, so you don't take up too much time on that. If the department follows its statutory procedure and abandons the property, is project New 52 Project in any different position with respect to its property rights than if it wins under the trial courts?
Yes, it would be. First off, if ODOT is going through its procedure, First, it would have to identify, I mean, assuming that it has decided that it doesn't need this property for any highway purposes.
Built the road someplace else, apparently, close by.
Well, but then you can be confused between the paved road that everybody's driving on and other things that relate to the highway. I mean, if this case went to trial, ODOT would put on evidence that there are drainage structures. There's a culvert and a catch basin and things like that on the property. So those are still things that relate to that are being used for the highway. But our larger point is we shouldn't even get to that because only the director should be deciding abandonment. If there was nothing on the property, if the director did decide we don't need this property anymore, first thing the director would have to do would be to issue a finding and give notice, publish notice and serve notice on abutting property owners. And this would allow the public to participate,
roughly how many times has the director done that in the last 5 years?
How many times has the director vacated property? I can think of three instances that I have been involved in within the last 5 years in which the director has vacated property.
Is this property located within a municipal corporation?
I believe it is. I believe it's in the Village of Chesapeake.
Okay.
But anyway, we've got notice, we've got the opportunity for public comment. Now, let's say we're going ahead with the vacating decision after that point. Well, under the director's procedures, under internal operating procedures to ODOT, you also have to check with the Federal Highway Administration if federal funding was involved and make sure that they're okay with turning back this easement. This particular easement happened to be limited access right away. So you again have to ask the Federal Highway Administration, is it okay? Notice goes to ODNR specifically. If, you know, ODNR decides it wants to retain this property for trail purposes, it could say so, and the director could then transfer the easement to ODNR. If there happen to be utilities in the right-of-way, and this has happened in the cases that I'm familiar with at least twice, where there were public utilities occupying the right-of-way, when it was transferred back to the fee owner, when the highway easement was released and the property transferred back to the fee owner, there had to be an easement created to allow the public utilities that were occupying that area to remain in that area. So that's another element to go through. Then we've got the issue of potential claims from other property owners or people that might be using the highway, which was the situation in Bigler, that these people could not come forward with their claims and say, listen, you're going to be damaging my property because I can't get to part of it, or, you know, I have to go over to the mountain to get
you're
part
you're
of it.
You're saying
or something
in a
like
case
that.
In common pleas court, like a case like this, that other so-called interested persons don't have any right to intervene or to be a party?
Well, in Bigler, the trial court said no. And I, you know, under the theory of what is common law abandonment, I can't see how they would possibly have any standing to be there. Because, you know, if we're talking about an easement that my neighbor gave me to be able to get to my garage, and I abandon that easement, and he just wants to make sure that he can sell his property free and clear of that, that's just between two people. We're not talking about all these other public interests that are involved. So let's say you have a utility that's occupying right-of-way by permit from ODOT. So you have somebody who, in the posture of this case, would be an easement holder giving a permit to somebody else to occupy this easement.
But now, they're all really interlopers, aren't they? The property owner gave an easement to a public body for highway purposes. And then by virtue of, I guess, enactments of the General Assembly, all these other squatters can come in there and be in that right away. The property owner never gave the utility company an easement.
That's correct.
Or anybody else that you're worried about here.
And this court in the past has held that that's fine. I'm thinking of the Ohio Water Company versus Ziegler case. I mean, going years back, you'd get litigation about issues like that where, hey, this was just an easement for highway purposes. How is having an underground pipeline carrying water highway purposes? But this court said, no, that's fine. I mean, it's enough transportation related to pass muster.
Well, you know, maybe if we looked at those issues today, we might have a different thought because it's a different world in many respects. But,
well, another
but
point.
You're right. That's how they got there.
That's how they got. Another point, Your Honor, is that, again, the issue of, you know, an easement to get to my garage. I mean, typically not a lot of money changes hands in situations like this. When the state acquires a perpetual highway easement, it pays full fee value less a dollar. So in this case, the record would reflect, I mean, there's a copy of the easement instrument itself attached to the complaint, that the easement occupied about an acre and a quarter of land. And the owner of the property at that time was paid over $38,000 in 1959 for a perpetual easement on that acre and a quarter of land. So that person was given fair value for their property, and everybody that acquired it since then acquired it with that highway easement in place. So now, essentially, the present owner is looking for a windfall to say, well, look, I bought this property with a highway easement in place, and I'm going to get another acre and a quarter back.
Well, we're deciding here something that affects the entire state. We know from past experience that getting the director of ODOT to move is just about like getting a railroad to move. It's pretty intractable, not just in the personage of whoever holds that office now, but that's historically the case. When the $38,000 changed hands, the contemplation was that the owner of the remaining fee would have a functioning highway next to him. When ODOT abandons that activity, you can have a functioning junk heap there, or a non-functioning junk heap. You can have a lot of bad and undesirable things occurring next to your property that were not contemplated when the transaction took place. Presumably, the landowner, when they granted the easement, anticipated, well, this is what's going to be my neighbor. And now you have nothing, and that isn't necessarily very desirable, generally isn't.
Well, again, I think the question goes back not just to what was in the contemplation of the parties at the time, but how has this court interpreted the scope of a perpetual highway easement? And any government agency that has a highway easement has exclusive control of that property. Unlike other easements where the fee owner would still have some measure of control, actually all control that doesn't interfere with the use of the easement. If it's a public highway easement, that public agency has exclusive control of the property.
Mr. Stokes, when you talk about the director having authority, you're citing, I take it, to 5511.01?
There's also a specific statute, the director having authority to vacate?
Right.
That there's a specific vacating law, actually. It's 5511.07. 5511.01 refers to abandonment, but abandonment in the context of state highways has a special meaning. And it means that if the director of transportation deems a particular highway to not be important enough to be a state highway anymore, it can be dropped from the state highway system back into the control of some local public authority. And there's a procedure for that involving public notice and comment and a report documenting the action. So although New 52 pled abandonment, what they meant in the statutory sense here was to have the highway easement vacated. So control of the fee would return to them.
I'm curious because even 07 doesn't include the word easement. And you've been emphasizing highway easement. And as I understand it, that's a point of contention here. We're not talking about vacation of a highway or the authority under 5511.01 or 07. It talks about highways, but not highway easements.
Well, actually, 5511.07, although it does not use the word easement, the last sentence in the first paragraph says, the director shall make any vacation of a highway or portion of a highway to an abutting landowner or current underlying fee owner of record at no cost.
So you're saying an easement is a portion of a highway?
An easement would be a portion of the highway property that would be vacated. And when they're talking about the current underlying fee owner, that signals that this statute is referring to easements as well as a fee interest.
But
vacating it to the abutting landowner would be the fee. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. there's a different way of looking at it. If you say highway or portion of highway, it seems very clear that that would not encompass easement.
Well, an easement, I mean, the highway, the land the highway occupies would be a road surface. It would be areas off to the side that are frequently used for utilities, that are used for drainage, that are used for clear zones when vehicles run off the road. So although those areas do not have pavement on them, they're still part of the highway. And I see that my time is nearly up, so if there aren't any questions, I'll reserve.
Yeah, you can take time to answer this question. Okay. The Court of Appeals bases its opinion, as you know, a decision primarily on the fact that the Servient estate, there's no provision for the owner of the Servient estate to be heard in the statutory procedure, and that the statute does not say that this is the exclusive means of providing assuming that the easement is a part of the highway, which is a pretty good question. But what you responded in effect, well, a Serbian owner can file a claim or petition their government, which I guess would be ODOT, to have this property abandoned. I don't want to hear your argument on that.
Well, how would that happen? I mean, it happens with a request. The owner of the underlying fee comes into ODOT and says, if you're not using this easement anymore, could you release it and give it back to
me? Is there anything in the record that indicates how that happened? I know there's not much record here, but are there regulations that provide? The statute apparently doesn't provide for a process like that.
No.
Well, how would a Serbian landowner know that he or she would have that right, or it would have that right?
There are procedures that are, for example, available on ODOT's website that, if you looked in their real estate manual, would show how they handle vacation of easements. And those procedures, I mean, dating back to the earliest I've seen, just version I personally had, dates back to the late 70s, it all starts with a request by the landowner to vacate the easement. And I think that's not unusual when you have a broad grant of discretionary authority to some executive agency actor.
But isn't the bigger issue that the chief is getting at, isn't the bigger issue that the landowner has a common law right which can be enforced, and you're talking about a statutory right?
Right, and we're saying that
the statute hasn't abrogated the common law, has it?
Well, we're saying that the statute has abrogated the common law, that there is no common law right to
find authority for that.
Well, it doesn't say specifically it abrogates the common law, but neither did the statute in Bigler. Bigler didn't say anything expressly about abrogating the common law. Bigler rested its reasoning. I mean, the entire decision turned on the fact that discretion over deciding what to do with this easement in Bigler was granted to the county commissioners. And it wasn't like in that case the owner of the fee estate had any claim. Bigler denied that there was any common law claim. In Bigler, the owner of the fee could come to the county commissioners and say, would you vacate this easement? But it was a discretionary decision for the county commissioners, and therefore this court held there could not be common law action, because if you could go to court, you could entirely bypass that discretion.
I understand Bigler, but the Court of Appeals, as you know, talked about Kelly Nail and Iron. That was the case that they talked about what we had done with respect to expanding the common law.
Well, there's some interesting points about Kelly Nail and Iron. First off, it was decided in 1889, and we know that the use of highways—
That was a good year, though, wasn't it?
The use of highways has changed a lot since 1889. One of the things that happened is that in several different legislative acts in the early 1900s, the General Assembly created the State Highway Department. And the goal of all of those, the express goal, was to create a State Highway Department and enact a uniform system of highway laws for the state of Ohio. So they, you know, brought all of this within the total scope of Revised Code Title 55. And in there, very early on, they enacted legislation allowing the director to acquire property by easement. I mean, originally, the director assumed existing county roads, but then it was acquiring state highway property on its own, the agency was. The director could abandon and vacate those portions. So very early on, the director was given the discretion to decide whether something needed to be or should be abandoned out of the state highway system or vacated back to the fee owner.
Thank you, Mr. Stokes.
Thanks, Your Honor.
Mr. Dillon.
Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court, I am David Reed Dillon. I'm the attorney for the appellee in this case, New 52 Project, Inc. And I will dispute about everything that's been said by my worthy adversary. First of all, we would argue, and I believe the plain meaning of 551101 is that it is not the exclusive means by which the state may be divested, or ODOT may be divested of property. If I may quote from the statute, the director may, upon giving appropriate notice and offering the opportunity for public involvement and commitment, and, or excuse me, comment, abandon a highway on the state highway department or part of such highway, which the director determines is of minor importance or which traverses territory adequately served by another state highway, and the abandoned highway shall revert to a county or township road or municipal street. That's about the seventh paragraph of the statute. Seems to me that this language, there are two implications that could be drawn. First of all, it's already been alluded to, there's nothing here that specifically relates to easements, but refers to highway. The allegations of the complaint, which at this point must be taken as true.
But counsel, if you're looking at 01 and then you read 07, and as was pointed out by the appellant here, 01 is to abandoning roads, and 07 refers to the word vacating any highway or portion thereof. We're looking at 01 doesn't apply to what's happening here. 07 does, and the 07 language, as was pointed out at the end of that paragraph, the first paragraph of 551107, the director shall make any vacation of a highway or portion of a highway to an abutting landowner or current underlying fee owner of record at no cost. And I guess in order to get to the concept of an easement, the allowance of an easement vacation here, you've got to define underlying fee owner of record, which suggests that that's the person who owns the land under which the easement traverses. Is that a reasonable interpretation here?
Well, once again, Your Honor, that's certainly part of the answer, but the 551107 also refers to in vacating any highway or portion thereof. So under the allegations of this, of the complaint, this ceased to be used as for highway purposes well over 21 years ago within the statutory period.
Do you define highway purposes as strictly the pavement part?
No.
What would you consider included in highway purposes? Because they've alluded to several things that they intend to contest if you go back.
There are, it's been raised with us, subjacent lateral support, for example, drainage. Now, we would controvert those, but...
So you don't think that drainage and culverts and...
No, I'm saying that that would be highway purposes. Controvert the factuality of those claims.
You would dispute that they have culverts, is what you're saying.
Well, the culverts that drain the property now, the highway property, are not... I think there is a culvert on this property, but it does not drain from the highway or the exit.
And what if ODOT comes in and presents testimony that it doesn't want to give up its easement because it has some plans for expansion? You know, 10, 15 years down the road, it wants to add another lane or another exit or anything like that. Is that allowed as testimony to defeat your abandonment claim?
Well, let me just say, from what I know, that would be extremely unlikely. Let me
Let's
if
do
I may
hypothetically,
explain.
Because we have to do law for the whole state. If is okay. somebody allowed in a common law easement abandonment action, is the state allowed to come in and say, no, we may not use it now, but we have plans for the future? Is that admissible testimony to defeat your abandonment action?
My judgment would be, and of course that would be up to the trial court, but my judgment would be no, it would not be relevant, because basically it's been unused for
okay.
a period over 21 years. And
so your argument is you strictly go on the fact they stopped using it. You will not, and the law that you are seeking would not allow any presentation of future use of this easement, even though it's been granted in perpetuity.
Well, I don't know that I would state that harshly, but I think we're getting there.
That's the effect of what you're saying, is that's not admissible testimony.
So, well, if I were the judge, I would not find it relevant, but okay. that would be up to the judge of the trial court, I guess.
So isn't there a purpose in giving a easement in perpetuity? Because we've had a whole lot of changes in the highway system with expansions and new exits and entrances and things like that happening all the time, but under your theory, that's irrelevant.
Well, the fact that there are changes is not irrelevant. The possibility raised of some use 20 or 30 years down the road, that seems to me a little bit too far-fetched to be
okay.
relevant.
If ODOT comes in and says 5 years down the road, we're going to want this property.
I don't know where to draw that line. So if they intend a future use at some point, I think that would be relevant. But where exactly the line should be, 5 years, 10 years, whatever.
And
it seems to be 20 years is on the other side.
And in your scenario of a common law action, is the notice given to the federal government of federal grants for use, and in what role can the federal government come in and play in your common law action?
Well, what we filed was a declaratory judgment action. Although I'm not sure it was intended this way, there certainly would be nothing preventing the court from using the procedure in 551107.
So you say the court would have inherent authority to notify the federal government and the Department of Natural Resources just like the director would?
Oh, judges can do almost anything.
Okay. So you would kind of convert this common law action into a quasi-statutory hearing?
Well, the neater thing would be just to do the common law action, but I understand there are policy considerations involved, and I'm not blind to them.
Counsel, I'd like to ask the question about the common law action. Let's just put aside the statute for a moment, say there was no statute. There appears to be some dispute as to whether or not there, in fact, a common law cause of action exists. And as we know, the general rule is adverse possession does not run against the state or its political subdivisions. And you cite a case, but the state also cites a subsequent case, Hedelson versus Hendricks, is saying essentially you cannot acquire a portion of a public highway by adverse possession, which I presume is the essence of a highway abandonment case.
Well, actually, Your Honor, I would disagree with that characterization. And they do cite a number of cases dealing with adverse possession. The adverse possession cases are correctly decided. Adverse possession does not run against the state. But we're not saying that we took affirmative actions to occupy the property adversely. I know from the case law, a partial encroachment could never be considered abandonment based on the scanty authority that's out there. So, I guess the closest analogy in this case would be a reverter, where some governmental entity is given, let's say the typical case is given some real estate for school purposes. with the implication that if it ceases to be used for school purposes, then it would revert to the original owner or his successors in interest.
Did this easement have reversion language?
Well, it just says for, I don't recall the exact language, but.
I believe it says in perpetuity, doesn't it? It says in perpetuity, this easement.
It says in perpetuity, but it also says for highway purposes. And the usual construction of that is that if it ceases to be used for that, at least there should be some kind of action to allow the servient landowner to recover the property.
Counsel, I want to take you through the parade of concerns that ODOT raises about this action. You're still stuck at the pleading stage at this point.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Do you maintain that if, for example, natural resources, if this action went forward and natural resources could not come in and ask to interplead or to state their case for an intended use?
I'm not saying that at all, Your Honor.
Or that utilities that might be ensconced on the property could not come in and present their claim or their necessity to the court?
I would believe they would have a right to intervene or whatever was necessary.
And with respect to drainage, I think you're suggesting on this particular property, the culverts or drainage may no longer be necessary, that the new highway has its own independent set of drainage, and that the drainage located on this property now is no more functional than the road itself, the old road.
As I understand what the engineers have told us, I wish I had something here to make a diagram on. The highway originally, let me just kind of make a motion in the air here, came in to the village of Chesapeake at kind of an angle. And the highway bisected the property that's now owned by New 52 Project, Inc. What happened 21 plus years ago, what was originally the highway had become a mere exit. There's no entrance to the highway from that point. And it dead-ended into a village street, and the easement's on the other side of that. That's my understanding from the engineers that the drains were put in over here right before the road dead ends. But now, and we do know, and of course it's not in the record, but there is ordinarily no water in that. There's a ditch there.
But you would concede if there is a drainage, whether it's open drainage or tiles or culverts, that are necessary for the proper maintenance and functioning of the new highway, that would be an encumbrance on the property
that's correct.
Still binds the property owner if the fee ownership changes.
If it's used for highway purposes, and of course, as we've already discussed, it's not merely road traffic, but also for any peripheral or subsidiary.
So you would anticipate if we ruled in your favor and this went forward, that the trial court, all these concerns that have been articulated by ODOT would be presented and addressed by a trial court before any.
I certainly think the trial court would have that ability in that jurisdiction.
Right. And finally, I guess it doesn't play out in this case, but it occurs to me in listening to this that there is a certain inherent unfairness in the abandonment statute as it relates to if ODOT initiated this, and that is it goes to the adjoining property owner, right?
Well,
In the case of an easement, it would go to whoever owned the underlying fee. Is that?
That's correct.
That's correct. So, because the adjoining property owner may not have been the owner of the underlying fee here, could have.
Actually, the only adjoining property owner in this case is New 52 Project Inc.
I understand it in this case, but in some cases, the adjoining property owner to an abandoned highway would not have been the source of the original fee. It's possible that that would.
I guess that's possible.
The appellant raises the argument that that the original property owner was compensated theoretically for the easement, and that if a common law action abandons or invalidates that easement now, that's in effect a second appropriation, because the new property owner may not be the new one, but the property owner receives the unencumbered fee. What's your response to that argument? The Court of Appeals didn't address it.
You mean as far as that being a windfall?
Right.
The original deed was a conveyance, it was a contract, and although it's a perpetual easement, and most are, then the common law was, and that if it ceased to be used for its purposes, that it would revert to the servient landowner.
Counsel, is there out of curiosity, was there negotiations with ODOT? Were they approached and asked to return this or to vacate the easement?
Yes.
And they declined to do that, or that you were expected to pay for it? I'm not sure what.
Of course, it's not in the record, but
I understand.
But my understanding is that, I believe I personally approached them. There was some discussion of offering a license for the use of the easement. Those terms were not acceptable to my client. So
you knew of this procedure to ask for a vacation. You just chose not to follow it and go common law.
Well, we contacted them and asked them to deed that to New 52 Project Inc., and they declined.
Thank you, Mr. Dillon.
Thank you.
Mr. Stokes, you've used your time, but you may take 30 seconds.
I'd like to address a couple points that seem to remain. First, with regard to an easement, the statute talks about underlying fee owner, and you couldn't be talking about underlying fee owner if you weren't talking about a highway easement. Second, when this statute's predecessor was enacted back in the 1920s, the Highway Department only had statutory authority to acquire property by easement. The statute's phrase was by easement deed, and it wasn't until the mid to late 50s that the statutes were revised to allow the Highway Department to acquire property in fee simple. Discretion. The statute gives the Director of Transportation discretion. To find in New 52's favor, this court would either have to overrule Bigler, statute that gave the county commissioners discretion, or find some way to say that the state highway department has less discretion, should have less discretion than the county commissioners. Third point, what if the director doesn't act? This court has held in a number of cases that if an executive is not doing anything and there's no avenue for a direct appeal, that at least in the theory mandamus would be possible as a remedy to make something happen. Justice Stratton's point about future use, Actually, in the Houck versus Board of Park Commissioners case in paragraph 26, this court mentioned that holding on to property for future public use is in itself a valuable public use. And finally, with some of Justice Pfeiffer's questions regarding what would happen if this were a court action. Well, I suppose in theory, the trial court could decide to let a utility come into the thing, to let the federal government come into the thing, to let ODNR come into the thing. But under the vacating law, all of those entities have rights. If there's a utility in the right-of-way that's being vacated, it has an absolute statutory right to remain there. So it's not dependent on some trial judge saying, yeah, we'll let you in the case. It has a right. Same thing with the director of ODNR.
Counsel, I'm going to ask you the same question. I got the impression from your opposing counsel that this property is configured in a way or situated in a way that it has no use to ODOT.
Well, I think there would be a dispute, a factual dispute, about whether it's currently being used for drainage purposes. But another thing that's particular about this easement, if you notice the easement itself, it has an LA designation, and the language of the easement talks about limitation of access. So when ODOT acquired this easement back in 1959, not only did it acquire the exclusive right to use the easement ground, but it also acquired from New 52's predecessor and title any right that grantor had to get onto the neighboring road. This is limited access right-of-way. So right now, factually, I don't know whether the easement runs right up to the highway ramp and the local street that it runs out on, but if it does, it is still serving the purpose of limiting access to prevent anybody from putting a driveway in there at the bottom of a highway ramp. So that's fact-specific to this case, but that could be a reason why ODOT was not interested in relinquishing the entire easement here, because it wanted and needed to maintain that limitation.
But it did offer a license for the use of this property to...
I have no personal knowledge of that. I can't say one way or the other.
Right.
Well, counsel, following up on the limited access, and limited access rights are important, but it is entirely possible to maintain the limited access part. In other words, the trial court could find the state has not abandoned and does not intend to abandon its limited access, right, because it's integral to the new project.
Well, Your Honor, that
just... So he could find that the real estate is abandoned, but the limited access right is not.
That gets into the point, which is critical to us, of who decides. Who decides? The statute lodged the discretion in the Director of Transportation to decide. And that way, we don't have to have a court severing up an easement. I mean, the pleadings also say that ODOT has not used all or a major part of the easement. Well, what about the other part? Do we have some kind of severance action? Do we have to have engineers coming into court testifying and proving to somebody's satisfaction that using this area for a clear zone or for sidefall of plowed snow is still a highway use and so forth? The statute allows all that technical decision making to be made by the Director of Transportation, not by a court, which goes back to the entire purpose of having a uniform system of state highway laws governing state highways.
So we must decide if the statute is actually exclusive, if there's exclusive authority to ODOT.
Yes, our argument is that in Chapter 5511, the Director of Transportation has exclusive authority to abandon or vacate a state highway easement.
Thank you, Mr. Stokes.
Thanks, Your Honor.
The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion. We'll take a brief recess.